Hit it again. Oh, Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start here. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this time of fellowship. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for all the brothers and sisters in Christ gathered here. And we thank You most of all, Lord, for what You've done on the cross for us, that we have eternal life and that we're sealed with Your promise, Lord. I pray this morning that we may open our hearts up. And I pray, Lord, that after today, that we continue on being bold in our walk of faith, and that we rest in Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning we're going to talk about bold and having boldness in your life. I know a lot of us here think we're bold, you know, and do certain things. But when you realize, when you look at Scripture and the word bold and boldness, and it's used 32 times in Scripture, almost every time it's in a positive fashion towards the Word of God, you look and you realize, I'm not very bold. You know, it's more like you think you are in certain situations, but the reason why you're bold is wrong, or the reasons, the motive is wrong. So we're going to talk about how to have righteous boldness in your life today, and that's what the kind of boldness you want to have. And being bold doesn't always mean being a loud talker like John and I, because we got big mouths, we're loud talkers. Being bold has a lot of aspects in your life. Sometimes you're around people that are very... Go ahead. I'm not loud enough?
It's garbled.
We turn it around?
It should be okay.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I blew it out. Anyway, sometimes you'll hang around people who are quiet and they say very little words, but the words they say just blow you away. They're very profound. So this is not about speaking all the time, although it does involve speaking. It involves every other aspect in your life. So when we get started here, we're going to define the word bold and boldness. Does anybody have some words that describe bold or boldness? Courageous? Strong? My spelling might be off. If it's off, Lori, I'm sorry. Willingness? Confidence, there's a big one. Powerful. All those words are in the Webster's Dictionary. All these words describe the word being bold.
Forceful.
There you go. Courageous, brave, fearless, confident, daring. The word boldness, when you act and you have boldness, that means freedom from being timid. That's really to understand the freedom from being timid. And also being bold is having a plan or an execution with courage and spirit. That's big about being bold. Because again, there's tons of people are bold in their lives, but they're not bold the way they need to be. Okay? So I'm going to put up here freedom from courage and spirit. Courage we got here with spirit. Now, it's big to understand that there's two kinds of boldness. There's the boldness from being human, and there's the boldness from God, righteous boldness. Okay, well, we need to understand what it takes to be bold. And there's two things we're going to talk about. The two things it takes to be bold is to be confident in something and have the right motive. Or have motive. I'll just say motive, because we're going to talk about being bold in the wrong way also. So the two things from boldness you have to have is confidence, and you have to have the motive. And absolutely, not compromising. Absolutely. So we're in Matthew right now. We're going to talk a little bit about, before we get into all the verses, and we're not going to go over all 32, we're going to go over several of them in the Bible about bold and boldness. We're going to talk about what it takes to be bold, to be confident in something. Okay? And we're going to go right to our Savior. We're going to go Matthew chapter 4. Everybody knows this verse, but we're going to go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter 4, somebody want to read that verse, chapter 4, verse 4.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
So, Joe, what did God put his confidence in? Jesus put his confidence in?
That is written.
In the Word of God. So right there, he wants you to live by every word that comes out of the Bible. So Jesus himself, when he walked the earth, never, ever, ever did sin, never did anything wrong, and he lived his entire life by the Word of God. So his confidence was in the Word of God. Okay? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, we are confident, and this is, Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, I know you guys all know this, but it's just to make sure this is another person who's being confident, but this is the right way to be confident.
Always.
Always, yes. Okay, so, let me get to your chapter. Okay. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For when we walk by faith, not by sight. So Paul was trying to tell us to be confident, to walk by faith and not by sight. So he put his confidence in the Word of God, which is given to him by the Holy Spirit. So Paul is an example to us, Jesus is an example to us, where I put our confidence in. Okay? Let's go to another verse. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Who wants to read Philippians 1, 6? Jenna, you want to read Philippians 1, 6? Okay. What Christ, the minute you trusted in the blood of Christ, you were saved. The Holy Spirit went in you. The confidence of Christ in you is what you're having faith in. He began a good work in you. So again, he's putting all of his confidence in Christ. You notice all these three verses we read. We could go on. They had like 20 verses. But the confidence that we have has to be in Christ. Okay? I know we go along in our lives, in our work, and at home, and we're building something, and we're doing things. Oh man, I know I can do this. I know I can put the board. And sometimes it works. Okay? And you go, pat yourself on the back. That's great. You know what God says? That's dumb. That's nothing. You had confidence. You were confident in that. You need to start your confidence off with Christ. Everything that you do. Whether you work, whether you teach, whether you stay at home, go to school. Start your day off, start your life off being confident in Him to carry through the things you need to do. Because all that other confidence, you may build 20 homes and all 20 of them go up fine. That 21st home is going to fall down. It's not consistent. Somewhere you're going to fail. Because you're putting confidence in something else besides the Word of God. Okay? So let's go on. What's the opposite of putting something confident in the Word of God or God? What's the other end of it? You put confidence in what? Yourself, your flesh. Okay? We're right here in Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's start off with a positive one. Let's go to Philippians 3:3. This is a positive verse. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no what? Confidence in where? The flesh. That's what you should do. But guess what Paul does? Let's see where he had his confidence. Look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he had might trust in the flesh, I more. So Paul's saying, no matter, especially the guys, I'm talking to the guys right now, I know girls, you have stubbornness, but men, we got too much pride. Okay, that's just the way it is. Bottom line is Paul, and back in that day, if we were Jewish, if we were a Pharisee, Paul would make us, no matter how tall he is or big he is, he'd make us look really little. Okay, because how mighty he was in his religion. Okay, and let's read this down here and we'll figure out what he said about this religion. Okay, it says, though, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Is that an important fact back then? Very important. That eliminates that pool of people down to here. Let's keep going. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Well, we just limited the pool all the way down again. Okay? Concerning zeal. What's zeal, guys? Enthusiasm, passion. In God's eyes, is passion good or bad? Trick question. Give good if what? That's right. If it's passion, having Christ at the center, from Christ, stems from Christ. The passion to want to read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the passion to want to help people, the passion to want to love your wife, take care of your family, love your husband. That's the passion that comes from the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. Remember, people try to think of us, they look at the grace movement and go, guys, you guys are very non-emotional. You know, you don't do that. But listen to me. God had every emotion in the Bible. When you have an emotion, don't just slap yourself and say it's wrong. See if the emotion lines with the Word of God. The emotion lines with the Word of God, that emotion's okay. The emotion doesn't line with the Word of God, it's wrong. Sometimes people look at us in the grace movement because somebody's dying or something's happening, and we're going, hey, you know, look at the heavenly place, the eternal life. God, you're not very compassionate, Barry. You just don't care about the guy who lives or dies. I care about his soul. We care about where he's going to spend eternity. Now, you got to explain that to people. And emotionally inside, sometimes you're like, you're being shooken up inside. But you, what does God say? Let your moderation. Be calm. Because no matter what you do, that circumstance won't change. No matter what you do. But your eternal destiny can change. If you're saved, it can't change. Too bad, guys. You're saved, you're going to heaven. That's just too bad. But if you're not saved, you have an opportunity for that eternal destiny to change. And that's what's exciting about that. So let's keep going on here. Concerning zeal, that passion. Persecuting the church. So how did Paul use his zeal? By beating up on the good guys. Killing the good guys. He used it the wrong way. Okay? Touching the righteousness, which is the law. Blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted, what? Loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but what? I remember teaching Sunday school years ago. The kids were 6, 7, and 8, and they laugh at that. That's dung, Dad. That's dung. You know, they laugh. But that's what it is. So Paul counts everything that he did in the flesh, every single thing, and he was the mighty of mightiest, Hebrews, Pharisee. He had it all, and he counts all that for dung. That's what he laid his confidence in. And that's what he did right there. Now, why is Paul telling us these things? He jumps from verse 3 to say, I have no confidence in the flesh. Then he jumps back here to tell us where he was. You think there might still be a struggle with that? Absolutely. Paul's trying to tell us the difference in of righteous, having boldness with confidence, this kind of confidence, or having confidence in the flesh. So we need to understand where we're at. People say, well, Barry, you know, you guys are saved, so you have the righteous. Yes, we are righteous. But we have this like little devil on one side, the angel on the other, called flesh in that. You've seen that cartoon. And I'm not trying to make fun of it, but that's how you look at it. The flesh is on one side, the spirit's on the other side.
You know, a diet.
Exactly. And you just stop in there and order the triple whopper, you know? That's what I'm telling you. So, anyway, let's jump to one more verse here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3:19. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Guys, all the stuff you have confidence in this world, even when you're driving to work and you think you got a great job, you think your health is okay, you think this is not going to happen, the United States is great, it's all a lie. Your health's going down the tubes. We have a cousin in the family, you need to pray for him, his name is David. He got diagnosed with lymphoma non-Hodgkin's. Now they found out it's stage 3 and 4. Now he's fighting this fight. And pray for us as a family that we have to, you know, tell him the truth. Sometimes it's not easy. But you have to tell him the truth because that's what's going to carry him to heaven. He may not survive this. Now he's saying, yeah, I got strength, I can do it. That's his own strength. And he may get over this, but he's going to die of something else. So that's what we need to do. We need to have confidence in the right thing. That's where we're going. The two things of boldness, John, are confidence. If you don't get this straight, this boldness means nothing. The last 2 or 3 weeks in the Supreme Court, what's going on? What are we talking about in the news? The gay marriage. I have never seen more bold people in my life. No, I'm serious. Come out. And when they speak with all sincerity. But you know what? To God, and the sad part about it is, it's foolish and it's dumb. It's not right. But they're more bold than us sitting here. Why is that? And that's why I want you to fight, and that's why I want you to rest in His grace and be more bold. The boldest people on earth should be us, not the people on the news fighting for gay marriage. They need to hear about the gospel. They need to understand the truth. And that's what we need to do. Their confidence is in the flesh. So the two areas of confidence you have flesh, and you have God.
You only got two ways to go. Everybody wants to make God gray. God is not gray, guys. God is black and white. When people look at you and they say, God, I'm so sick of you being black and white, hopefully you're on the right end of that, saying the right things and the truth. But usually that's a good statement to God when they say that about us. Usually, not all the time. You need to be cut and dry. God is not gray. If a verse you do this is not gray. We may not understand everything. In fact, we don't, and we may never. It's eternity before we're going to know everything. But God is black and white. Abortion is killing a kid. It's black and white. That's what it is. Gay marriage, God does not want gay marriage. Doesn't believe in it. Gay and marriage don't go together. Yes. Yeah, well, but you can call it anything you want, but to promote it and to compromise it. And again, guys, that issue is not standing. Those people, you should pray. They need the gospel. That's not lying, cheating, stealing. All that's the same to God. Their issue is they're getting the truth from the flesh. They're getting the truth from men's wisdom. And we just read that man's wisdom is, God said, that's foolishness. So they're getting everything from that. That's their source of power. Do we sometimes do that? Absolutely. I understand that. It doesn't use the word Trinity either. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's what I'm saying to you. So the point is the act itself is not glorifying the God. That's not why that person's going to heaven or hell. The person's going to heaven or hell because they didn't have faith in the blood of Christ. That's the only issue. Everything else you can talk... Once you get the center point, you ever sit with a guy and you're talking to him and you're like, you just want to ooze it out and tell him? Unless you get the center point as being the Bible, you're not going to get anywhere. Don't frustrate the grace of God by doing that. If they can't come to the conclusion that the Scripture, if they don't care about the Scripture, you say your word, say, hey, this is what the Bible tells you. You have a choice between heaven and hell. Give them the road to Romans. Give them 1 Corinthians. Read this. I love you, man. I love you. I want you to go to heaven. Read this. Leave it alone. Because if they're not going to look at the Bible as the Word of God or even consider it, now some people don't know. I didn't consider every word of God, but your curiosity gets piqued. Talk to those people. But if people fight you on the aspect and the Bible's not the Word of God, there's no reason to fight. That's stupidity. Then you start having confidence in this because you want to fight to win. And us men, we know that. We want to win. Well, guess what? Christ already won for us. So we're trying to win something He already won. Okay, look at what the Galatians did. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at how he's talking. These are Christian people Paul are talking to. The book, Galatians are Christian. They're saved, sealed people. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 3. Actually, 2 and 3. Okay, who wants to read verse 2 and 3? Beth, you read verse 2 and 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. You're right there, Beth. You're right there. Ken's on another planet. So, is he speaking to Galatians saying, hey, attaboy, I love you? No, he's saying, I love you. You're way off base here. You're way wrong. What they wanted to do, they were saved by grace, and they wanted to continue in works. And what does he call them? Foolish. Now I know sometimes we use the word foolish and we think, oh, that's... God does not use the word foolish lightly. I'm telling you right now. Look, do a word search. It is pretty intense the way he uses the word foolish. A lot of the people call in the Old Testament foolish. He was killing those people because he said they were foolish. They didn't listen to him. This is not a light word in the Bible. Okay, this is a word to take heed to. So he's telling the Galatians, guys, you got saved by grace, you're back into works. You're foolish. So not only is he calling the unsaved foolish, he's calling the Galatians who are working the law foolish because that takes you back to where you were when you're unsaved. And basically, a little bit of sarcasm, he's saying, guys, why? Why? He's pleading with them. Don't do this. Don't be foolish. So they started with confidence in God. They got saved. And then they jumped back to confidence in the flesh. That's the struggle, Romans 7, that we have every day. That's our struggle, Romans 7, flesh and God. Okay? So in order to be bold, you better get this straight. Okay? You better be confident in the right thing before you're bold. Because this boldness, and we all put our foot in our mouths many times, because we spoke with this. And remember, when you're bold in your life, it's not about how people react. This is, we do this way too much. You say, hey, you know, I talked to him and he said this or he reacted. Guys, that's not our job how people react. If we have this straight, and we're going to talk about motive in a minute, if these two things are good, it doesn't matter how. How did they react to Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Tell me how well he did. Did he say, oh God, the Pharisees didn't believe me. I better try this avenue. I better change my marketing strategy to get them on board. Jesus didn't do that. He stuck to the message because the truth in what he was doing was righteous. And he didn't, I don't say didn't care. He loved the people, but it's not what other people think. Throw it out the window. You young people, forget about what they think. It's done. Think about what God thinks. You got a question in your life that you're doing something? Care about what God thinks. Because that's the only thing that really matters. And you say, well, should I listen to my parents? Well, maybe your parents are dummies, and we've been there before. Maybe we don't do the right things. The Bible says, honor thy mother and thy father. You're not going to honor your mother and father because they're always right, because they're probably wrong most of the time. You're not going to honor them because they talk nice to you or talk mean to you. You're going to honor them because the Scripture said, honor your mother and your father. That's why you do things, because the Word of God tells you to do it. There's no other reason, and it honors God. He's got this all worked out, guys. We don't need to get creative about it or think new ways of doing that. So stop, especially to the young people, stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. Think to yourself, am I worried about what this person thinks or am I worried about what God thinks? And most of the time, when you follow God, if you look at the percentage, Jesus, there's small percentage, you're not going to be very popular. So, newsflash, popularity is gone. You're in this ministry, we're not popular. It's done. So if you ever think we're going to have a million people going to church here, it's great to hope for that. You should go out and preach the gospel and get people to church and let the Lord save them and get in the right division. We're not going to have a million people here because look at what Jesus did. The Almighty God is walking the earth, healing people right in front of people, and He got that many people? 1%, 2%, whatever the world. Give me a number. It's a really small number. So there's no difference today. But there's people out there. Okay, there's people out there. Pick up Jim a little bit. He's out there. People who are saved, me, Rich, who came from another church, who heard the right division message and said, you know what, this makes sense to me. The Word of God makes sense to me. And we came over. I thank God for those people who shared this with me. I thank God for every one of you in here because that's the Word of God. It's the truth. You don't tend to waver when you stay in the book rightly divided. You don't waver at all because you got the answers. And when you can't figure them out, what is 2 Timothy 2:15? Study it. You know it's there. And I know it sounds sad. Joe's not calling me, hey, Bear, what do you think I should do? And if I start giving him advice, that's stupid. I need to go, hey, Joe, did you ever look at this verse? Or Joe goes, Bear, you ever look at this verse? That's how we edify one another. The children, the young adults, the men and the women, give each other verses, encourage one another. When you share an experience with somebody about in your life, make sure that you tell them the verses that you went to. They want to hear all about, hey, you survived this. I had tumors, I survived this. No. How'd you get through it? Well, Romans 8:18. Romans 8:36-39. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Give them verses, because that's how you survive life, through the Word of God. So give them verses. Everybody wants to hear about the experience. Well, the verses is why the experience went the way it did. God gets all the credit. And that's how you get through things. So go by the Word of God. So, let's talk about motive now. There's a lot of motives. You see people, I use this example, Sunday school, old lady needs to cross the street, the guy helps him across the street. Is he doing God's will or is he not doing God's will? It's a trick question. Is he or isn't he? We don't know his motivation. So, the thing about us is we got the hardest thing, I'll say this, when you're a sinner, when you're not saved, well, we're all sinners, when you're not saved, you only have one motivation. Self. There's no other motivation why you would do anything. So you're locked in. So anything you do or think about is always about you. I don't care how you do it or do it. The more difficult part for us, and it doesn't have to be difficult, we make it difficult, is we have two choices. We have the choice of resting in what the Word of God says or resting in our flesh. So you help that lady across the street, you're going, Lord, something I should do, help others do that. You're thinking about it. You're doing it for the right reasons. We all go to work. Some of us stay home and work. You can have a clean house, you can have an awesome workplace, but if your motivation's not right, why you did it, it counts for dung. Because you're not doing it because of the Word of God, you're doing it because you're doing it for you. She said, man, I've wasted a lot of my life. Yeah. Let's stop wasting our life. Let's do it and rest in the grace of God, what He wants us to do it for. All right? So anyway, the motive. Let's go to motive right now. Let's go to... first of all, what's God's will in this world? What verse, Joe? 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3, and 4. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Good job, Joe. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. It's verse 3 and 4. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." That's the motivation. Okay, we got two motivations. We got motivated by flesh, which is ourselves, and we got motivated of God. So God tells us His will, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Okay? God has twofold purpose, for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so that's His purpose. You got to determine His purpose. Now, what is His motivation behind that? Love. Okay, let's go over. There's tons of verses. Let's go over to Galatians. Let's talk about a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I know the song that Lori and Al do in Sunday school, still in the kids. I love the song that they do. I'm not going to sing it because you guys will leave, but we're going to go over the verses. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit... So where did this fruit come from, guys?
Spirit.
The Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Your motive must be there. That's your motive. And you can't get this motive from anything but what? But the Spirit of God. Look at verse 25. For if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. This is the fruits of the Spirit. It didn't say fruits of the flesh. It didn't say fruits of Barry and John. It said fruits of the Spirit. The motivation are these things. Love, joy, peace. That's the motivation. And what's the greatest sign of love that Jesus gave us? That God gave us? The cross. So our motivation must be about God's will. What did He have for His will? For all men to be saved, come to knowledge of the truth, out of love. He sent His Son to die for us. So, when you're being bold, and you're having boldness, you got to make sure these two things are in line. Now, I'm not trying to make it more complicated, but I need you guys to understand. That's why I drew this out, to having these two things. Because, again, I've been bold a lot of my life, but most of it counts as done. Okay? I've had confidence a lot of my life, but most of it's been in myself. And the motive has been me. So, we need to get on the right track of what God considers righteous, bold, and boldness. So we got to understand where it comes from. That's why I took you down this little rabbit trail, but I had to do it. Now we're going to go back to some verses in the Scriptures. We're going to go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And we're going to see how people are being bold. Now tell me ways of... What do you first have to do to be bold? What has to happen? Thinking. Sue got it. Thinking. So the first thing, process of being bold is thinking. Okay? Now, some of us, Ken and I, have a little trouble doing that, but we can, Joe too. Anyway, but we gotta have thinking. That's the first thing that has to come in your mind. You can't just go out and do stuff. You gotta think about it. Okay? From thinking, three things happen. And sometimes this step is skipped, and you'll know when I put the first one. Speaking. How many times we spoke without thinking? Okay? That's real bad. Yeah, that's real bad. Acting. Our actions, I'll put the actions that we do, because sometimes you can think about something being bold and you have to have actions, but you don't have to speak. Being bold doesn't always have to say something. Again, talking about the quiet person who very rarely says anything, you see somebody. I've seen a lot of people be bold without saying a word. Saying one word. So actions. The third thing is, and I'm putting this in here because of the modern era, which I'm not too hip on, but I'll say writing or typing. And I'm going to tell you why I'm putting this in here, down there. But the writings that you do or the things that you show on the internet, that's why I'm putting it in there. So the writing. So being bold has a process. You think about it, and from that process, there's speaking, there's actions, or writing. The action may be a non-action, but that's still an action. It's deciding not to act. you and a group of friends are going, and there's a fence up that says no trespassing. And 80 of your buddies go, and you stand there, not saying a word, and you just stand there, and they know who you are, and they're not going. You have just thought about being bold, and you decided no action. Yeah, well, John took the sign down, so he felt good about himself. So his motivation was the flesh, and he was confident that he wouldn't get caught. Okay, that great example. I didn't have to do one. Yeah, exactly. So you, thank you for making the point. But anyway, being bold requires you to think about what you're being bold about. You need to think and have confidence and motive, and then these are the actions that come from that. Okay? So let's go through some of the verses that talk about boldness. Let's go to where we're at. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Verse 43. Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Okay, does anybody want to read this verse? Rich, you want to read that verse? Mark 15, 43? Yes, sir. Yep.
Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus.
Okay, so Jesus has died, and he went in boldly. I don't know about you guys, but talking to Pilate is not something I would want to do back then. It's just something you want to stay away from that guy. Yes. So he did it, and this was a godly man. He did it, and he boldly went into Pilate. Because trust me, you can't go into Pilate in any other way. So in the Scripture, this is an example. We're not talking about speaking yet. His actions were bold to go in to Pilate. Bold. Okay? Let's jump over to John. And this is going to go in sequence. I tried to do this to make it easier. It's going to go from left to right in your Bible. Let's go to John chapter... let me see here. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Let's go to verse 25. The bold is used in verse, verse 26, but we're going to start at verse 25. Then said some of them, Jerusalem, is it not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know that indeed this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when the Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. So how did Christ come to them? Boldly. And what's cool in that verse, it says, and I come not of myself. That's a perfect example. Be bold in yourself. And here's Christ giving us that example. And he did it boldly. Okay? Now, in the Bible, the 32 times boldly is mentioned, that doesn't mean that there wasn't other times where guys were bold. The verses, you know, the word bold wasn't mentioned. But I wanted to go over the verses that show bold and boldness. You can see it in all throughout the Scriptures. All the men and women of the Word of God were bold. Okay? They were bold at times in their life. David had times, it took boldness to go to the mercy seat to do what he did. He was done. It took boldness and courage. I got nothing left, man. He gave up on himself. That's awesome. Once you give up on yourself, life gets a lot better. Not in your circumstances, in your walk, in your maturity. Because then you can rely on the Word of God and not yourself. Okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 30 and 31. Acts 4, 30 and 31. This is the apostles, and they're doing miracles. It says, By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now you talk about that. Imagine this place right now just rocking, you know, just shaking back and forth. Everybody, what happens in an earthquake? Everybody starts trembling, calling at the table, everybody freaks out. This place is trembling because they received the Holy Ghost. I mean, this is the revival. I know they do it today, but that's a false revival. But the revival, when you picture this, that's the power of God in them. And what did it give them? It gave them boldness. It gave them the boldness to do what they needed to do, to go out to the world. That's what we have to have. Now, it's not, the place is not going to shake, guys, when you pray to God. But the whole point is, have that kind of passion and zeal. You see it in those verses. When you live your life, have that zeal towards the Word of God and that boldness to go out for all men to be saved and come in the knowledge of truth through your actions, through your words, through your writings, everything you do. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 15. Romans 15, 15. It says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." So what was Paul doing right there? Writing. And he was writing how? Boldly. Why? Grace of God. So he's confident in the grace of God. His motivation came from the Lord. And guess what? He thought about it. And he wrote it. There's a great example. Now, these things can happen quickly in your lives. Matter of seconds, you're thinking, boom, 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 it goes through. The more you get in the Word, the more you're reacting based upon who you are. Okay? Remember, when you go out in the world and act like a dummy, that's not who you are. When you guys sin, that's not who you are. That's the old man. You say, well, I sin more than I don't sin. Well, that's because you're having confidence in something that's old and dead. Stop having confidence in it. Switch it over. This boldness comes from you being bold in who you are in Christ. It starts in the inner man. You being bold who you are in Christ. Listen to me. It is okay to brag. You say, Mary, that's bad. It's okay to brag. Yes, it's okay to brag about the cross work of Christ. It's okay to talk about what He did for you. It's okay to put the emphasis all on Him. So if you want to brag, brag all you want. Just keep it about Jesus. All right? It needs to focus on Him. Focus on what He did for you. Out of the thankfulness of your heart, you go, hey, I got to tell you, He's awesome. He saved me through this situation. I read this. I thought about this. I did this. It's got to come through you. If you hang around people long enough and they don't know who you are, you're not being bold enough. Okay? People should know who you are. I don't care if you're in a workplace. My workplace, sometimes we can't say the J word. That's Jesus. Okay? But people know. And if there's somebody who doesn't, the one guy came up to me the other day and I was embarrassed. He goes, I found out you were a Christian. And I've been working with this guy 4 years. I said, Lord, that's shameful. Now, I didn't go in my guilt. I said, how do I got to be more bold? Doesn't mean I have to come down and start preaching to the guy. But he needs to see the boldness and the ambassador in me through my actions. Because it needs to be seen. We are the light of this world. Everything you do, you need to be seen. And you need to do that. So people go, man, there's something different about it. Now, they may not like it. They may not agree with it. But again, who cares what they think? Really, it matters what God thinks. And again, in Paul's ministry, what happened to the people in Asia at the end of his ministry? What happened? That's sad. But you know what? Did Paul stop? Did he go back going, different marketing strategy, let's change the whole direction? No. He just said, just keep fighting the fight and keep doing it. Because one day, guys, when we're up with the Lord, none of this. All this garbage is gone. No more sin. No more of the world. No nothing. We're going to be bold all the time. And the boldness is going to glorify the Lord. The most bold thing anybody ever did was send His Son to the cross. That was boldness and courage. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to verse 11. Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. You have boldness talking to God. You have access. The Spirit lives in you. And like John said, boldness is locked in with confidence. I got it 5 minutes. I'm going to have to hurry this up. Anyway, boldness is locked in with confidence. Okay? The confidence in God. They're interlinked. That's why it's so important to make sure you got the reason why, where your confidence is placed, and the motive. Okay? That gives you access to God. I know God will answer every prayer I pray to Him. You know how He's going to answer us? Through the Word. God will answer me every single time. It's in the verses. You got to know that. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen, brother. That's where it's at, standing in the truth. And that's a great thing that I want to say, Tom said, that, about these young people. And this about boldness and other ways by speaking in that. When Facebook, you know, we've had all this stuff on Facebook, and you got Instagram, Monogram, oh, I don't know, all this tech stuff, you know. I can't keep track of it. I'm not a techie, okay? But all this stuff come out. You know, you get nervous. You say, well, you know, your kids have Facebook, you do this. But I'll tell you what, Facebook and some of these tools are the most wonderful thing that you can use to be bold. And sometimes it's easier. You ever have to talk to somebody and you write them a letter instead because you don't want to get confused. You get all flustered. You get anxiety. Sometimes, that's why I put the word writing in there. Sometimes it's better to write that word, calmness. You think about it. You put some verses in there. You read it over rather than putting your foot in your mouth. Okay? Sometimes on the Facebook, on the text, on the internet, you post stuff about verses about who the Lord is. It's one of the greatest ways to get it out. If used correctly. If the purpose, if the confidence is in God when you place it, and the motivated is out of love, joy, peace, the long suffering, that's the right reason to put something on. I'm going to pick on Sarah a little bit. This whole thing is going on with the gay marriage. And Sarah put the Romans verses on there. And, you know, basically, Sarah loves everybody, but she wanted to tell people God doesn't think this is natural and right. Tell you what, she got persecuted to the fullest. People came at her like no other. Okay? Not because they persecuted her, but if you are bold and you're not persecuted, you put your confidence in something else. Because you're going to, the Word says you will be persecuted from all sides. Persecuted from all sides. She got persecuted from all sides. Okay? So what? You keep going. You walk these people. Maybe one day, some of these people responding to her, meanly or fighting the fight, might say, you know what? I may have only heard this verse once from somebody, but I remember Sarah. I remember this person. My wife and Jenna and Sarah, they've done all this. I know, Lori, we get bold on this Facebook. You guys got to use it as a tool. Carrie's not here today, but Carrie's placed some bold stuff on there. I encourage you. You do have a Facebook? Put the gospel on her. Say some things about God. Something's happened in somebody's life, they're dying. Put the God as the God of all comfort. And then put the road to Romans on there. Okay? I grabbed this little brochure back there. When you're sharing with people and you don't mention this four-letter word, hell, you're not being bold. I'm sorry to say it. You're a wimp. You're not being bold. Okay? Because nobody's going to get saved if you don't tell them the reality of what they're being saved from. Okay? So you got to mention this word, hell. You have to tell them being saved from what? Hell. But if you tell them because you know it's the Word of God and you tell them because you love them, there's nothing wrong with the boldness. See, God will tell you in His Word how to do these things, which we've gone over. So if you go by the Word of God and you do it this way, that person reacts good, bad, or indifferent. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant how that person acts. It's not your job to save anybody because you're not going to do it. It's not your job to mold it over to these churches, do these plays and the drama, and let's just, you know, accept the Lord. That's garbage. A little leaven, leaven the whole loaf, and that's what's happened. These Word of God has gotten distorted, the tickling of the ears. Stick by the Word of God and be bold. Be bold in the things that you speak. Be bold in your actions. Stand firm on the Word of God. Be bold in the writing of things, writing letters, internet, Facebook. Be bold in doing this. Okay? There's a couple guys here. I know Rich. I came out of a church. Jim came out of a church. I'll tell you what. If it wasn't for the Word of God, I never would have left. Jim never would have left. Rich never would have left. And there's other people here too. It was only because of His Word. It had nothing to do with me. Because the Word was there. And I found comfort and I found the truth there. So you make decisions based upon that. And I'm very proud of these two guys taking their families and doing what they need to do. I'm proud of people driving, Jamie, Tom from Oceanside, people driving from everywhere because this is the truth and we preach the truth. And it's being bold. It takes boldness to drive an hour and 45 minutes. Some people in the world says it takes stupidity, but you're being bold to make the drive and doing that. That takes bold. A summer camp a couple years ago, we'll finish up here. There was a gentleman, Dave, I forget his last name, and he spoke a sermon. And at the end, this verse just rocked my world about being boldness. We're going to go to that verse, but I want to go to one more verse before we do that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Time-wise on the chart, what's happening in Hebrews, guys? They're getting ready to go through the tribulation. Or they're in the tribulation because they're talking to them as if they're in it, because there's verses showing how you're going through it. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go to verse 16. Did I get the right verse there? Hold on a second. Let me see. Hold on one second here. Oh, sorry. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Sorry, guys. 13, 6. Now, you talk about being bold. Okay, let's read this verse. So that we may be bold, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's not like what he's doing today, guys. They're going to put the mark. They're going to come after him. They're going to kill him. That's boldness. That's a perfect example of these guys, what they're going to go through. Paul, all his time, he's put to death. He got shipwrecked. All these things happen to Paul. You can't really get a worse life. All these things happening to Paul, how he was persecuted. The same things are going to happen to them going through the tribulation period. It ain't going to be fun. And that's why he said that boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. No fear, because I have God. You see these shirts out there that people wear that says no fear. You guys should have that, not a tattoo, but something printed on you that says no fear. You should be that bold about the Word of God. Okay, now we're going to close it. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. In this verse, I'm studying last night and doing it, and I got tears in my eyes, and I'm just all fired up reading this verse. And it is so intense to think. And God compares the boldness to the mightiest of creatures that He made. Guess what creature that is? No, the mightiest of animals. What? The lion. Okay, let's read the verse. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You guys need to be lions and roar and be excited about being bold in the Word of God. Be pumped about who you are in Christ. Let it be heard. And again, it doesn't have to always be verbal. Through your writings, through your actions, through your speaking, you be bold as that lion. Trust me, your circumstances, really, they don't matter. They're nothing. No matter what happens to you, that's what God wants you to do. So this week, think about, can I be more bold? Absolutely. Paul prayed for boldness, and he was the boldest man I know, right in Scripture. Makes me look like a little wimp, you know? And this guy wasn't big in stature, in size or anything, stature, doesn't matter how big, tall, doesn't matter if you're quiet or you're noisy or this, you can be bold in so many ways. So roar like the lion, and remember, that's how bold you are. You guys, think about it, you have Christ, you can't lose. You've already won. So why not just have fun with Him and roar, be excited? People say, you're saved. Yes, I'm saved. Then go out and be bold. People should see that in you, your actions, who you are in Christ. All right, we're going to take a little break, guys, and we'll be back at 11.
We have your current life. You don't.
Not out of love. Okay? Yeah. John, you've been a great demonstration this morning.